Today on The Mondo Show, Pastor Larry Ragland joins us to talk about the warning Jesus gave that still echoes today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Why is it so important for believers to recognize the signs of Noah in our generation? Stay with us as we uncover what these prophetic parallels mean for the world right now. And now, here's Mondo.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Mondo Show. I'm so glad that you're joining me. You know, I believe in miracles, and I hope that you never give up on believing for your miracle. I believe that whatever you're praying for, whatever you're asking God for, you stand on faith and not in fear. I know it looks impossible right now. I know it looks like money's running out, but you know what doesn't run out? God. God never runs out. You know why? He's the provider. I hope that one of these days you take time to really understand who God is. I know we love to quote the one-liners because the one-liners is what encourages. The one-liners is what we like to post on social media. We love to give advice. But when you walk with God, it becomes more than an advice. It becomes more than a one-liner. It becomes who you are. The identity in Christ is what's going to sustain you in the time that you're in right now. And I'm glad that you're joining me because on today's program, I have a friend. I call him a friend. I don't know if I'm your friend.
Oh, you better believe it.
You're my friend now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pastor.
Definitely my friend.
Author. Podcaster. Host. What else can we say about you, doctor?
Just a man. Just a man that loves the Lord. That's it.
Larry Ragland has written a book titled The Final Flood. This right here, I got to tell you something, is a book that is going to open up the idea that I need to go back to scripture and reread what I have read for the last 20, 30 years and not understood. Yet God gave you a revelation. Mm. God gave you an insight.
Wow.
It's for your advantage, he said in the gospel.
That's right. Yes.
Right? We have an advantage of the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to see far beyond what we can see, to see a miracle when a miracle doesn't even look like a miracle.
Right.
Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I got to give you a proper introduction.
Oh, my God. Okay.
He's the host of The Big Picture and pastor of Solid Rock Church for over 30 years. Oh, I don't like to say this name, but I'm going to say it anyways. Birmingham, Alabama.
Roll Tide.
You're married to a beautiful lady named Sandy.
Yes.
You guys have two daughters.
Yes.
You're an author. In the middle of the most chaotic time in your life, God tells you to write this book.
Yep.
How do we find a miracle in the mess?
Whew, good question. And you know, I was just sitting there thinking when you were opening the program, I was just thinking about the verse that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That you're talking about the one-liners.
Oh, I love Hebrews 13:5.
Exactly. So you're talking about the one-liners. Everybody likes to quote that one-liner. What happens a lot of times is when you're speaking those one-liners, you get pigeonholed into what you think it means and what you are told that it means. Yeah. But one of the reasons I wrote the book is because he will not only leave us nor not leave us or forsake us in person, but he will not leave us without knowledge to be able to handle what's coming. And so I just love the fact that the book is based around Matthew 24, you know, where he said, see that you are not deceived, as a response to the question, what will be the evidence of the environment of when I'm coming back? And then he goes into the days of Noah and all of that. But what he's doing really is just saying, look, it's going to be chaotic. You're talking about the chaos of my life, writing the book. It's going to be the most chaotic, absolute most chaotic that you can even imagine. You can't imagine how chaotic it's going to be. That's the days of Noah. But in the midst of it, I will not leave you without the information and the word on how to handle this and how to process this and how to respond to it. So the book is called The Final Flood, and it's about the days of Noah, but I always say it this way. If we are the Noah generation, then there's going to be a generation of Noahs.
Ooh.
So right in the midst of that, and I believe that's what we are.
I love Hebrews 13:5.
Yeah.
I studied it with Pastor Jim.
Come on.
And I learned that is a triple negative.
Yeah.
Not at all, by any means, in any case.
That's so good. Yeah.
He will ever leave thee.
Yeah.
Not at all, by any means.
Wow.
He will ever forsake thee.
Wow.
Listen, God means what he says and says what he means.
Come on.
He doesn't change his mind about us, does he?
Never, never. He doesn't change his mind.
You tackled Matthew 24. Mm. I've studied Matthew 24 with Pastor Jim for almost 28 years now.
Oh, my goodness.
And the number one question he kept asking me for 28 years, maybe I was lazy and not go into it a little bit deeper, but maybe it's because I didn't have the revelation to really understand in that season that I was in when he was asking.
Yeah.
But he was asking me, there has to be more about why Jesus quoted Noah.
Yeah, that's right.
This book right here answers the 28-year question of why Jesus decided to quote Noah.
Yeah.
I want to go into it real quick because our time, we're going to spend a couple of days together. And I want you to know something. I love you, and I'm thankful for you because I'm getting your letters. Listen, I did something that you're never supposed to do in television. I gave out my private number.
Wow.
Because I want you to call me. I want to stand with you in prayer. And then in all of that, you say, I want to support your program. Mm-hmm. And people are contributing to the program, and they're partnering with this program. So I want to say thank you.
It's awesome.
Because your monthly support is what allows me to bring guests like this. I don't pay them. Do I pay you?
No,
I need to pay you probably.
No.
I had a guy one time that said, hey, I'll come on your show if you for $20,000.
What?
Yeah. I said, you crazy. I said, I'll zoom you in. But listen, your support, your prayer is what's helping me continue to do what God has called me to do. And one of these days, we're going to sit down and talk about the journey.
Yeah.
Because I believe that God has called the Noahs watching right now, and you're part of the Noah generation, and we're going to help you find out what that looks like. But let's start with the biggest portion of Scripture in Matthew 24. I feel like there's two portions, right? One, Jesus talked about deception. The very first line, he talked about deception.
Yep.
And then if you read later on in Matthew 24, you find deception three times.
Yes.
But between all of that, he said something so powerful that I maybe one of the disciples that went over their heads, but somebody caught it because they decided to write about it. And here in this book, you expand the idea of what that means as it was in the days of Noah.
Let's start there.
What does that mean? And how does that apply to us today?
Okay, excellent question. One thing I want to say is this, is that he didn't say it would be like the days of Noah. It will be as the days of Noah. And when you understand the difference between like and as in the days of Noah, that means it's a duplication. So it was very, he was very intentional with his words. He knew that the people listening, even if they didn't fully get it, he was intentional in his words, Mondo. He was not just saying, I want you to remember that they brought on two by two and the animals, or that he built a big boat. Everybody knows that. That's what we learn in children's church. No, he knew that the people listening to him would know what brought the judgment. What was the atmosphere? What was the chaotic environment in which Noah built that ark? That's what he was saying. He knew that the people there knew about the book of Enoch. Even though it's not in your canonized 66 books of your Bible, I look at it almost like a commentary. But it is a very important commentary to understand Genesis chapter 6. So in our minds, when you hear the Lord say, study Noah, well, you have to go back to Genesis 6 because that's the narrative of Noah that's in our Bible. But it's really not a long section. It's not a lot of scriptures in comparison to Abraham or Joseph and David. I used to ask the Lord, you know, if you pointed him out, why is it that you didn't give us a whole lot of more context in that? It's because when Moses was writing Genesis, he understood that the people writing it in that time knew exactly what he was talking about and understood the backstory of Noah. So when he says, as in the days of Noah, he says, go back and study it. Get everything you can to understand what brought about that. And yeah, there's things that you can learn about the ark and the water and the flood and the animals, but he wants us to understand the war that we are facing. It is an unending war that started, it's the long game, I would say, of the enemy that started in the garden with the judgment that came from the Lord when he spoke about the seed of the woman. That became what is known. I know many of the viewers know what it's called, the seed war. Many others coined that phrase in times past, but it encompasses what was happening, trying to stop that seed of the woman being born. But the second war was when he realized he couldn't do that, he went after the image bearers, those that were created in the image of God. So the book is about how systematically over the history of civilization, there's nothing new under the sun. The days of Noah have just repeated over and over again. I call it one chapter, recycled rebellion. And it's just recycled over and over again. But Jesus said, but you need to understand, the final generation will receive a level of deception that no generation has ever received before. So much so that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. And the only way for that deception to not come is you have to be equipped by the word of God to know how to respond to it.
Where do you feel we are as the church right now in this hour? Because if you describe what you just described right now of what it was like in the days of Noah, in parallel to where we are right now, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the world. The world is going to do what the yes. world is going to do. Yep. And outside of God, they're focused on doing what they're supposed to do. But the church yep. has opened up a doorway mm-hmm. that has allowed this flood of filth to yes. come into the church. 100%. So as a pastor, you've been a pastor over 30 years.
Yep.
You've seen the church changed.
Absolutely.
You've seen the church transition in so many different ideas.
Right.
To the point where 30 years ago, the worship leader was just the worship leader in the background. Today, the worship leader has become the yeah. forefront mm-hmm. of ministry, of churches today. Mm-hmm. Yet, there's something deeper than that happening in the church. So what do you feel is the state of the church as a whole right now?
Well, it's not good. I mean, I'm just being real transparent. As a pastor, it's not good. I mean, the body of Christ, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's never changed. But understand, that's a statement about the true church. Not the facade, not a steeple, not church pews. And I'm not against any of that. But the gates of hell cannot prevail against the true church. You know, I think about when Paul was writing, he says, the end cannot come unless there first come a great falling away. And everybody talks about that falling away. And a lot of times in westernized, homogenized modern church, it's easier for us to think, oh yeah, that's talking about the world. Like you say, oh, the world's going to get really bad. There's a great falling away in our world. No. See, I always say this, you can't fall away from a fallen state. So the world's already in a fallen state. So they can't fall away any further. So it's a direct statement to the body of Christ. That falling away is the church. And you can't fall away from somewhere that you haven't been. So what he was saying is in the last days, unfortunately, and sadly, we see it happening in acceleration right now. Many people who knew God, Mondo, I know you see this, people that used to pray and yeah. serve God, yeah. that used to love to serve in the house of God. I mean, they were passionate. They'd get there early, stay late. You can't even get them to come to church now. Oh, and if you do, you better make your service 70 minutes, sweet little songs, 3 points and a poem, and get them back out so they can get to the buffet in time. And it's like we've lost that passion for God. That's the falling away. And that is what is the ingredients that deception is going to come into. There's so much going on in the world with AI now, with the alien talk and the disclosure and all these things competing for our time, social media, all of this. The church has become sort of in the background, and the enemy loves that because, it, as you use the word, it's an open door. I dare say even a portal for some of these beings, giving them access to come into the church. And now we have pastors in name only that are getting up there and preaching and condoning things that the Bible calls abomination, and we wonder what's happened to the church. But in the midst of it all, there is a remnant. And there is the generation of Noahs. They are small in number. A great friend, I'm sure you know him, Pastor Miles Rutherford. He's a mighty man of God. He said to me one day, he said, here's the good news and the bad news about the remnant. The bad news about the remnant is every week that goes by, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Wow.
He said the good news about the remnant is every week that goes by, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's like, and I started thinking about this analogy, like if you had a hose pipe at your house, and you turn the hose pipe on and you're trying to wash off a chair. Well, you just let the water flow out of the hose pipe. It's going to help. It's just sort of a gentle, but you put your finger on it and you start closing it up and you make that stream, same amount of water, but you make it smaller and smaller and smaller. What happens to it? It pressurizes. And now you can clean a little bit more on it.
Yeah.
So I sort of see the body of Christ going through all that it's going through right now. And God has just got his hand on there, and he's just squeezed. He's just getting the real church, and he's letting that water flow through, and it's becoming more powerful.
Wow. Listen, I find myself praying more.
Yeah.
Not because I want to be holier, but I want to be what God wants me to be.
Yes, sir.
I ask, Lord, search my heart. Lord, if there's any pride, if there's any ego, if there's any sin, Lord, I want to hear from you. I don't want to be deceived. I want to learn to hear that still small voice in the middle of all this noise.
Yeah.
Information is noise.
Yes.
The constant beeping, the constant alarm. Don't settle for that. Don't just get used to that. I said, Lord, don't let me get used to the chaos. Don't let me get used to the alarms around me. Lord, let me always be attentive, be aware, be watchful, be understanding of your time and your season, because I don't want to miss you, God.
Amen.
Man, you bring things up in this book that, can I say this? A lot of people are afraid to talk about. I'm not just talking about in the book. You preach about this.
Yeah.
I watched your track record. I researched you.
Uh-oh.
Man, you put people on me. Do you like controversy?
No, I do not.
How did you find yourself in the middle of all this controversy of this video went viral? And I got calls, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't have Pastor Larry on your program. Don't have Pastor Larry Ragland. Let me ask you, by the way, before I ask you that other question.
Okay.
I love the last name, Ragland.
Yeah.
Is that Viking?
I have no idea.
It sounds like a Viking
name. I have no idea because it's another day for another story for another day. The name that's my father is not actually my father.
Oh. Mm. You're going to have to come back, man.
Okay.
There's a lot to know about you.
Yeah. It's not actually
my biological father. All right, let's go back to the controversy.
Yeah, okay.
How did you find yourself in the middle of this controversy?
I'm one of them pastors that's going to be honest with you and tell you straight up when I don't know. I don't know. To this day, I still don't know how it happened. So next, I, for those that are watching, you know, it's a controversy over.
Do you want to talk about this?
I mean, I don't care.
Didn't even ask permission.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care to talk about it. I don't have nothing to hide on it. It's basically, most people that follow social media, some of you don't even probably know what it's about. There was a season of time, depending on when you watch this program, where there was a viral discussion that went out about pastors that were invited to be in a group with some people that was going to give them some information. And really the purpose of it was to wake up the pastors, to wake up the church so that we're not deceived like what we're talking about.
Yeah.
These were men of God that were connected very high level, connected to high level people, I should say, with information of things that they had seen and heard. And it was like, okay, the church is not ready for this. They're going to fall for a deception if they're not ready. So, yeah, I was a part of one of those meetings. Come to find out now, I didn't know at that time there was several other meetings. Mm-hmm. There was another viral video that went viral with one of our mutual friends. We won't say his name.
And, I'm kidding.
Okay, all right. So somehow a video that I had made commenting on some things got tied to that. And when I saw that there was a misunderstanding on there, I made an apology video on that, owned it, and just said, look, the bottom line is, you know, this is the enemy trying to distract from what the real purpose of the meeting was, and that was to make sure that we're not ready, that tell the church, hey, if you're not ready, you're going to fall for this deception. So, yeah, it was a crazy time, but, you know, I just told the Lord, I said, you know my heart, I understand my assignment, and I have been, you know, just doing this every day of my life. I'm not no famous pastor. I don't want to be a famous pastor. I just want to preach your gospel, and I just decided, you know, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in my assignment, and I'm not going to be slowed down or distracted by any of this. And whatever the Lord does to use it, praise God. I didn't ask for it. God, you, in your infinite wisdom, you put it there, and I owned it, and I'm going forward with it. And when it's all said and done, the disclosure is coming. Mm. The deception is coming. And, I understand my assignment. I'm going to stay in my assignment.
You have to know who you are in Christ,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, all these things will remove you and move you out of your purpose and your destiny.
Yes.
I am amazed, Pastor, so many Christians don't know their assignment.
No.
I get invited to meetings to go speak, but sometimes I have to step back and realize people are going from meeting to meeting to meeting and still don't know who they are in Christ.
No, they don't.
What do you think? What's happening that we don't know who we are in Christ anymore?
Well, that's the core of the book. The core of the book is about identity. It's like if you know who you are in God, my best friend of my whole life is in the audience here watching. We've known each other since we were 5 years old. He knows that I say this all the time. I say the most powerful force on this earth, without a doubt, no question, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. Okay. But the second most powerful force on this earth is debatable. I don't think it's debatable. I think it is a man or a woman who knows who they are in God. And when you know who you are in God, yeah, you're the second most powerful force on this earth.
Wow.
Second only to the Holy Ghost. Because then you know, if you know who you are in God and you truly know your assignment and your identity, nothing that is thrown at you, said about you, or done to you can knock you off your game, because your prize is not fame. Your prize is not fortune. Your prize is not clicks and subscribers. Your prize is Jesus. Your prize is the kingdom. Your prize is well done, good and faithful servant. And when that is your driving force and you keep yourself focused and centered in that, nothing the world can bring on you will make an impact.
Man, you got so much to give. Listen, I know the church hurt you. Maybe you got hurt by the church. Maybe a pastor took advantage of you. But don't give up on the church. Don't give up on pastors. For every one pastor that makes some mistakes and misrepresents, there's thousands of pastors that are doing it the right way. But pray for that one pastor. Because we still need that pastor. We still need him back in the mission and the assignment that God called him and prepared him for. Listen, none of us can escape temptation. None of us can escape. But if we under the blood of Christ, if we're under the anointing, if we're constantly, what you said yesterday, a personal relationship with Christ, mm-hmm, that's the only way we can be saved. That's the only way we can be protected. None of us can escape sin. None of us can escape the temptations that come constantly, the attacks, the distractions, the deception. But yet, that's what the Bible says. It's for your advantage that I leave you with the Holy Spirit. It is only through the Holy Spirit that we can have an advantage with to be able to understand why God is rising up right now a new generation of Noah. Listen, you're going to have to watch the next program because we're going to go into it deeper. But can you give us what that sign? What are the four ways? And name one. And I'm going to just say it because I know you have a lot in your mind. But you wrote one of the ways is walking with God when no one else does.
Absolutely.
My favorite one.
Absolutely. My favorite one, too. And here's the key thing about that. Walking with God. One of the things I point out in the book is, We've misconstrued what walking with God means. The Americanized church says, hey, God, I'm going for a walk. Come on, go with me. And God says, no. I don't follow you. Mm. You follow me. But then the other aspect of walking with God is you're literally right side by side with him. That's the very simple version of that is you're walking with God. You're not behind him and you're not ahead of him. You're with him. And sometimes when you're walking with somebody, And your objective is, I'm going to walk with Mondo. And me and you are walking down the street here. And I've said to myself, I'm going to walk with Mondo. Well, as long as Mondo's walking, I'm walking. But if you stop walking and I keep walking, I'm no longer walking with you.
Yeah.
Or if you slow down and I speed up, or if you speed up and I slow down, I'm no longer walking with you. So when you stop to look at something, I stop to look at it. When you stop to get something to eat, I stop to get something to eat. And that's where I think a lot of pastors, ministers, and Christians in general make the mistake. They walk with God in the early stages, and they take advantage and they get used to the presence of God. So now they think they're this man of God. They're just so anointed. God's got me. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. And all of a sudden you find yourself walking out ahead of God. And you're wondering, and all of a sudden you fall into temptation. You fall into something that you regret. And you think, how did you let this happen, God?
Yeah.
How did you let this happen to me? I've given my whole life to you and all this kind of stuff. And God is saying, it's simple. I'm still back here. I've been waving at you, hollering at you to come back here and be with me. But you went on your own.
Wow.
So Noah had to build in the midst of the most chaos that anyone had ever seen. While people were mocking and ridiculing him, he had to stay faithful in building that.
There you have it. Pastor, author, podcaster, my friend.
Yes.
Larry Raglan. I like that last name, Raglan. Mm. The Final Flood. Listen, you can get this book right now. Just go to ptl.tv. As a matter of fact, do this. Go to themondoshow.com, and I'm going to put a link to ptl.tv, and you can order this book, and you can help us stay on the air. And I want to thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We'll come back and do more of about the book and some other things I have in mind. But listen, I want to say thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come into your home and hang out with you. And I love taking your calls. Man, I've talked to Betty. I've talked to Larry. I've talked to so many of you. And listen, call me, 417. This is my personal number, 417-779-9225. And leave me a message and your number, and I'm going to call you right back. And I want to hear from you. I want to pray with you. And I want to say thank you for supporting me to help me to continue to preach the gospel around the world. You know what? It's been an amazing journey. And I believe that we got to save one more for the kingdom. Listen, I was lost. Man, but the power of prayer changed my life. And I believe that the prayers that we can pray together in agreement, Matthew 18 and 19, when we stand in agreement together, we can believe for that miracle. So don't give up. Don't give up on your son in prison. Don't give up on your daughter if she's addicted to drugs. Don't give up on your husband. Man, that hard-headed knucklehead, pray for him. God is going to bring him home. God is going to straighten things out in your marriage and your ministry. Just don't give up on God today. Listen, together we're going to be able to win one more for the kingdom. And pray for me as I pray for you. I have to go, but remember this. Keep the faith. It's going to be all right. Bye-bye.
When you support The Mondo Show, you're not just helping keep a broadcast on the air. You're standing for truth, and you're investing in souls. But this impact is only possible because faithful partners choose to stand with this ministry.
Invest in places that's going to bring fruit into your life.
If you love Mondo the way I love Mondo, we are partners of Mondo. And I'd encourage you, maybe you could begin to just sow regularly.
I've seen your show from time to time, and the guests you bring, they bring so much edification, they bring so much truth that you're not going to get in a church. You're not even going to get in Bible college.
And when you give now, you are helping so many others hear the message of hope. You're reaching the broken, the hurting, and you're declaring this powerful truth. God is not through working in our lives.
You know, I just want to say to those who are watching, you need to continue supporting Mondo.
Right now, we need you to take action.
Put your blessing where it counts, because when you do that and you come here and you support this man of God, you not only are you supporting his ministry, but you're supporting yourself spiritually.
Please support The Mondo Show by giving $30, $50, or $100 per month. You can also make a one-time gift of any amount, or visit themondoshow.com.
And if you will give of your finances to help Mondo's ministry, God will multiply that seed back to you again. And what a deal. You plant a seed, but you get a harvest.
Your support helps keep this message going out. Thank you for standing with The Mondo Show. We're praying for you, and we can't finish this work without you.